This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him and we seek His help and we ask for His forgiveness. And we take refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequence of our evil actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide. But whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, no one can guide. And I testify that Allah alone is worthy of worship and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to our next session concerning this important, vitally important topic of the major sins. And in the last episode, we talked about the proof and evidences from the Quran and from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that show that there is a gradation of sins and there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified as being major sins. And also we learned that the prayers, the five daily prayers, the Jum'ah to Jum'ah and the Ramadan to the Ramadan, all of those things expiate the sins, the minor sins. So clearly we find that there are such a thing as major sins. Now the question remains, how do we know what the major sins are? Now that's something that is discussed by the Imam in his book. He mentions that, of course, those things that are the major sins are known because they are mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran or by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they were understood to be major sins by the early generation of the Muslims. Now essentially, the criterion through which and by which we can know what is a major sin are, number one, if there is a hudud or a had punishment. So if there is a prescribed punishment in the Quran or in the Sunnah for a particular crime, then that is clearly one of the major sins. So that's one criteria. Anything that has a had punishment attached to it is a major sin. The second criterion is if there is a specific punishment or a threat of punishment in the Akhirah. So if there is any deed, or if there is any sin, and this sin in the Quran is accompanied with a specific threat of punishment in the next life, or similarly in the Sunnah, if there is a specific threat of punishment, then that is also considered to be a major sin. The third criterion is the curse of Allah. If any deed or action has been mentioned that the person who does this or the person who does that or the person who abandons this, because some sins could be actually abandoning actions. Not all sins are things that you do, some sins are actually things that you don't do. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned along with this, the curse of Allah, then that is also considered to be a major sin. And what is the curse of Allah? It's worth mentioning very briefly the curse of Allah. The la'na of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the curse of Allah, means that when Allah's mercy has been removed from something, then that thing is cursed. May Allah protect us from that. Subhanallah. Imagine Allah's mercy is taken away from you. So certainly that is definitely a major sin. The fourth criterion for something to be considered to be a major sin is if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that the person who commits this sin is not from amongst us, or that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam negated iman from a person who commits that particular sin. So there are some things where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said they are not from us, the people who do this, and they are not from us, the people who do that. Or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that people who do this are not the people of Iman. So if there is such a threat from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that is also an indication that thing is a major sin. And also the fifth indication that something is a major sin is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am free of anyone who has done such and such thing. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am free from, or I have nothing to do with the person who has done this or who has done that, then that is also considered to be a major sin. So my brothers and sisters, this is the criterion that the scholars have put together in order to distinguish the major sins from those less major sins. And we should really be aware of them, and we will be discussing them, and we'll be going through them, because it is so, so important that we keep away from these sins. And a topic that I will be discussing before we get into the main issue and going through those sins is, what are some of the harmful effects of the sins? So we want to talk about that, the harmful effects of the sins, because it's very important to know and to understand how sin and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rebelliousness against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, how does it affect us? So we're going to be talking about that. But just before we do that, let's talk about the number. Is there a specific number? Can we put a definite number on the major sins? Well, some people actually say that there are seven major sins, and they do that based upon the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, avoid seven noxious or seven deadly things. So from this, they inferred that there are only actually seven major sins. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned what they are. And the first one he mentioned is shirk, associating anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned magic. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned killing someone whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared inviolate without a just cause. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned consuming the property of an orphan, devouring usury, and running away from the battlefield when the army is advancing, and slandering chaste women who are believers but indiscreet. And this hadith was collected by both Bukhari and Muslim. So some scholars use that as a basis to say, well, these are the seven major sins, and that's all there are. There are just those seven major sins based upon what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, avoid the seven noxious things, the seven poisonous things. However, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said 70 is closer to their number. So actually, it's not seven, it's more like 70. And we can explain that quite easily by understanding the hadith does not say there are only seven things. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only mentioned seven things, but he did not exclude the fact there are many, many other things that one should avoid. And as you will see over the overcoming series, the next coming series, it will be very clear that there are also other sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he warned us very severely against doing many other types of sins apart from those ones that have been mentioned. And in some instances, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, what are the worst sins and what are the worst things that a person could do? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned things apart from these seven that we have here. So 70 is more close to the number. And of course, as we have mentioned, there is a gradation amongst them. So some of those things are worse than others, and some of them are more severe than others. So even amongst the major sins, there is a type of gradation, there is a type of level of severity in that regard. So my brothers and sisters, that is the discussion there that we have been having about the major sins. Now, what I wanted to do and what I wanted to touch upon also, which I think is very interesting and very important, is the issue, and I wanted to revisit the issue and to remind ourselves about the issue that in our deen, in Islam, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from sins for a reason. When Allah has told us to do something, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to avoid something, that is from His wisdom. He has not just told us, don't do this and don't do that, and you should do this and you should do that, just to make our life difficult and just to put us under test and just to put us under trial and tribulation. Absolutely not. You should not think that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not what He has given to this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No. For this ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to leave something because that thing is harmful for us, either individually or collectively, either physically, mentally, or spiritually. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do something, it's because that thing is good for us and it is beneficial for us, either mentally, spiritually, physically, individually, or collectively. There is a very, very important point that I need to mention. Very important, brothers and sisters. And this is very relevant in understanding this whole issue of sin and what is sin. Not every sin is completely evil. Let me repeat that. Not every sin is completely evil. In fact, it is very important to understand that some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from actually have some benefit in it. And I'm going to take as an example a topic that we're going to be visiting later on in the series. Let's take the example of alcohol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran the example of alcohol. And that's in Surah Al-Baqarah in the 219th ayah. Let's read it. Let's have a look at it, see what it says here. They ask you, O Muhammad, concerning alcoholic drink and gambling. There's two things, alcoholic drink and gambling. And so Allah told the Prophet to say, in them is great sin and some benefits for men. In them is great sin and some benefits for men. So I'm just going to pause here to explain something important. This ayah, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recognizing that there is some benefits in gambling and there is some benefits in alcohol. What is the benefit? Well, the benefit may be that in buying and selling, if I sell alcohol, there is money that I can make from it. So there's some benefit from that. And from that money, I could buy food, I could buy things, I can do things with that money. So that is a benefit. According to some, and we're going to talk about this, I don't want to go into it too deeply now, but according to some medical research, some research has indicated that in drinking a very small amount of red wine every day, that there may be some health benefits. So there is some research that suggests that. And we could accept that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran that there is some benefit for mankind. But then Allah goes on to say, but the sin of them is greater than their benefits. The sin of them is greater than their benefit. And this establishes a hugely important principle. And this is what is called maslaha. Maslaha means the benefits. Indeed, some scholars said that the whole of the religion is based upon maslaha. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from, He has prohibited us from that thing. He has made that thing a sin because the evil of it outweighs any maslaha. With the example of alcohol, it's very, very clear that there is a small benefit, yes, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that. But the benefit is so small, so insignificant, so small, that the evil far, 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 far outweighs any small benefit that they may be. And so, brothers and sisters, this is actually the reality with everything in the religion of Islam. Everything you can think of has some benefits and has some harm. There is always harm and there is always benefit. In fact, I talk to many students of knowledge and I actually challenge them and I put this forward to them. Find me anything. There's nothing you can think of that either contains some harm or some benefit. So however bad it is, you will find that there's some possible benefit in it. And however good it is, you'll find that it contains some possible harm. So it doesn't mean that because something is a sin, it's necessarily pure evil, as we may think like that. No. Actually, there may be something that is a sin that has benefits. And there may be something that is a good deed, and it has harm in it. But always, in the good deed, the good will be so much more than whatever little harm there may be. And in the evil deed, the evil will be so much more than whatever good there is. So this is the Sharia. This is the whole of our beautiful religion is directing us towards the maslaha. Allah is always guiding us to where is the most benefit and keeping us away from where is the most harm. Now there is something very important that needs to be understood by all of us, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And especially because today there is a very dangerous type of thinking that is taking place amongst some people who claim to be Muslim. And they are putting forward a very, very dangerous idea. And the dangerous idea that they are putting forward and the dangerous thing that they are claiming is that we look at the maslaha and that is what decides what is halal and what is haram. Whereas actually, it is very important to understand, it's the other way around. The Sharia decides, Allah decides, the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what teaches us where is the maslaha. The Sharia teaches us. It's not that you look for maslaha and you say, oh, there's some benefit in that, therefore it must be allowed in Islam. Even if we find a hadith or a verse of the Quran that prohibits it, no, but we can find some benefit. No, that is not the way that we should think at all. This is the opposite. Because this is not within our knowledge, brothers and sisters. It's very important to understand. Our minds are very, very feeble. Our understanding is very limited. Our intellect is very limited. Even with all the available science and technology, still our knowledge is so limited. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His wisdom is perfect. His knowledge is complete. He is the all-knower of everything. And that is why always the aql is below the naql. The naql means the text, the Quran, the hadith is on top because that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is from Allah's perfect knowledge and perfect wisdom and perfect guidance. So we always have to subdue our intellect underneath the revelation. This is something very, very important that needs to be understood in this whole concept and this whole issue of the sins and where is the benefit and where is the harm. Because our objective, my dear brothers and sisters, is to maximize the benefit and minimize the harm. And we do that by following the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And I want us throughout this series to please always keep this in mind, to keep reminding ourselves about this very, very important issue. That everything is based upon obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why you find the saying of the believers. The saying is, سَمِعْنَا وَأَتَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. When we know something is from Allah, when we know something is from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is impossible, it is not possible for someone who believes in Allah and the last day, that once Allah and His Messenger have decided upon a matter, that they would have any choice about it. It's not possible. So once we know that something is from Allah, once we know something is from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is it for us as believers. That's the criterion. Our criterion is the revelation. If, in addition to that, Allah blesses us and guides us to understand the wisdom and the benefits of this particular prohibition, or Allah guides us to understand the wisdom and the benefit of this particular action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do, then alhamdulillah, this is all the better. This is all the better for us. And then that is guidance upon guidance, that is light upon light. But we shouldn't imagine, and we shouldn't be confused into thinking that, well, I will only leave this thing when I understand and when my intellect agrees and comprehends the reason. Or I will only do this good thing when my intellect and when my reason comprehends why this is beneficial for me. No. You see, the truly intelligent person knows and understands that Allah is the most wise, and that we should surrender ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the truly intelligent person will understand. And that's something, by the way, you always, nearly all of you have experienced in your life. When you go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you, well, you have this disease, and you have that problem, and you need to take this pill. 99% of us have no idea what is this disease that he's talking about, or what is this pill that he is asking us to take. Yet, we surrender, we submit ourselves to the doctor. We do what he tells us to do because we trust his knowledge, we trust his wisdom, we trust his understanding, we trust his experience. If that is the case with a human being, a doctor who of course can make mistakes, how much more should that be the case with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who never makes mistakes, who is completely and perfectly and totally wise. So my dear brothers and sisters, please keep this in mind as we are going through this series of lectures about the sins, and we are exploring this whole issue and understanding that, number one, not every sin is entirely evil. There may be some benefit in something that is a sin, but always the harm is more than the benefit. And not every good deed and not everything that Allah has allowed for us means that it is totally good without any harm. But Allah has allowed it for us or ordered us to do it because the good is much, much more than what any harm there is. And Allah is the most wise and His guidance is the best guidance. So we should obey Allah and we should obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is the path that is clear and that is the path that is straight. And if we follow that way, alhamdulillah, we will have the success in this life and we will have the success in the life to come. And remember, brothers and sisters, the door of repentance is always open. We can always repent to Allah and seek forgiveness from Him. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.